Today's talk will be on the basics of Vipassana. Now, I have talked about this many times here and also in many places, but it is always good to hear what you have heard before, so that way you can confirm your understanding, and also you can clarify some points that are not clear to you at the first hearing. And those who have not heard it, it will be a guide for them when they practice Vipassana. So those who are practicing Vipassana meditation should know what Vipassana is. So the word Vipassana is a Pali word, and it is composed of two parts, vi and passana. So vi means in various ways or in many ways, and passana is seeing. So Vipassana means seeing in various ways or seeing in many ways. And seeing in many ways means seeing that mind and matter are impermanent, suffering, and non-soul. Or in other words, it is seeing the three general characteristics of all conditioned phenomena. Now, those things that are taught, especially in Abhidhamma, have what are called characteristics. Now, Abhidhamma, there are taught consciousness or types of consciousness and mental states and material properties. And each of these has its own characteristic, function, manifestation, and proximate cause. And there are two kinds of characteristics: general characteristics and specific or individual characteristics. So when we practice Vipassana meditation, we see both these characteristics. Now, general characteristic means characteristics that are common to all units of Dhamma. And specific characteristic is individual characteristic. Now, about, say, 50 people are assembled here in this hall, and we are all human beings. But there are those who are Vietnamese, Chinese, Americans, Burmese, Indonesian, and so people belonging to different nations. Now, our being human beings is common to all of us. So our being human beings is the general characteristic of ours. And then each of us has his or her own characteristic as a Vietnamese, as an American, and so on. So being American, being a Vietnamese, or being Burmese is specific characteristics. So in the same way, those that are taught in Abhidhamma have these two kinds of characteristics. Characteristics that are peculiar to a specific Dhamma, and also characteristic that is common to all things that are taught. Now, all conditioned things, all conditioned phenomena have these three characteristics. Now, conditioned things means things that are conditioned by some other thing, that are made by or produced by some other thing. So conditioning here means both producing and supporting. So things that are produced or things that are supported by some other things are called conditioned things. And all conditioned things have these three characteristics, because you make something, and that comes into being, and that is the beginning of that. When there is a beginning, there is an end. This is the natural law. Nobody can interfere with that law. So when there is a beginning, there is an end. And everything that is conditioned has a beginning. So it has an end also. Therefore, all conditioned phenomena arise and then disappear. So since they arise and disappear, they are impermanent. And since they are impermanent, they are dukkha or suffering, and they are non-soul. So the three characteristics of impermanence, suffering, and non-soul are the general characteristic of all conditioned phenomena. And it is a function of vipassana to see or to know these three general characteristics. When you watch the breath, you make notes of the breath as in, out, you are actually watching the air element. And the air element has the characteristic of extending. Now, when air is put in the balloon, then the balloon becomes extended. And that extending is the characteristic of air element. And this air element arises and disappears, and so it is impermanent and so on. And so impermanence, suffering, and non-soul nature of the air element is its general characteristic. So the air element, the specific characteristic of the air element is extending, and its general characteristics are impermanent, suffering, and non-soul. So with regard to every thing that is taught in Abhidhamma, there are always these two kinds of characteristics. Since vipassana is seeing the three characteristics, only when you see the three characteristics through your practice can you see that you are practicing vipassana. Before you see the three characteristics, you are not in the vipassana proper. You are in the vicinity of vipassana, but not in the vipassana proper. So only when you see the three characteristics are you practicing vipassana. In the practice of vipassana, there are different stages of knowledge. A yogi who practices vipassana first sees mind and matter clearly, or he is able to delimit mind and matter. That means he is able to differentiate between mind and matter. This is mind, this is matter, and so on. And after that, he reaches a stage where he sees the conditionality of things, or he sees the causes of the mind and matter. So during these two stages, he is not seeing the three characteristics yet. Only when he reaches the third, let us call it third stage, does he begin to see the three characteristics. And that stage is comprehension, stage of comprehension of mind and matter. And then later, he comes to see the arising and disappearing of objects and so on. So, among these stages, strictly according to the definition, the first two stages are not yet vipassana. That is why in the book called Abhidhammatasangaha, they are not included. These two stages of knowledge are not included in the 10 vipassana knowledges. But in the commentaries, they are also called vipassana knowledge. Although strictly according to the definition, they are not yet vipassana, since they lead to vipassana, and since they are in the vicinity of vipassana, they are also called vipassana knowledges. So now we know what vipassana is. Vipassana is seeing the three general characteristics of all conditioned phenomena. Now, what do we do when we practice vipassana? We observe, or we watch, or we pay attention, or we make mental notes, or we try to be mindful. So when we practice vipassana, we try to be mindful, or we practice mindfulness. So this, the practice of mindfulness is sometimes said to be observation, or watching, or paying attention, or making mental notes. So we use different expressions, but we mean the same thing. So sometimes we say we observe the object. That means we try to be mindful of the object. We try to be fully aware of the object. Sometimes we say we watch the object. That also means we try to be fully aware of the object. Sometimes we pay attention or we make mental notes. Now, making mental notes is also to go along with mindfulness, not just mechanically making notes. So when we say make mental notes, we mean make mental notes with mindfulness. When we observe the object, when we are mindful of the object, we will not fail to see the object clearly. And when we see the object clearly, we will also see that object arises and disappears. So when we see the arising and disappearing of an object, we know that that object is impermanent. And when we know that object is impermanent, we also know that that object is suffering. Suffering in the sense of being oppressed by arising and disappearing. And when we know that the object is impermanent and suffering, we also know that it is anatta. It is anatta means we have no control over this. It is insubstantial, and it is not soul or self. So, just by observing the object, we can know the three general characteristics of the object. So, when we practice vipassana, we just observe the object, or we just try to be mindful of the object. In the beginning stages, it may not be real vipassana, but when we begin to see the three characteristics, then we are right in vipassana. So when we practice vipassana, what we do is just be mindful of the object. Sometimes it is helpful to make mental notes. That is why we always say, make mental notes, make mental notes. So making mental notes help people to keep their mind on the object. It is like using a pin to put a note on the wall. So you want to put the note on the wall and then you use a pin. Something like that, we use mental notes so that we can put our mind on the object. But sometimes making mental notes may interfere with the notings or with the practice. So if making mental notes become an obstacle, then we don't have to make mental notes. We just try to be mindful of the object. Sometimes it is better just to be mindful of the object than making mental notes, because sometimes making mental notes can interfere with your understanding. So you have to use your own discretion. If it helps you to be fully aware of the object, then you make mental notes. If making mental notes interferes with your practice, then you don't have to make them, but just try to be really mindful of the object. Now, what must we observe when we practice vipassana? The answer can be given in two ways. So if we want to impress people, we will use the words used in the books and we say, we must observe the five aggregates of clinging. Now, this is the answer. But to give this answer to those who are not familiar with the teachings of the Buddha, it is like Greek to them. Aggregates of clinging. They have heard this these words, but they may not know exactly what they mean. Let me explain this term. Now, when Buddha analyzed the world, he analyzed it into five groups, or they are called five aggregates. And these five aggregates are the aggregate of matter, aggregate of feeling, aggregate of perception, aggregate of mental formations, and aggregate of consciousness. Now, beings are analyzed into these five aggregates, and inanimate things are just the aggregate of matter. So, all things and beings taken together, they are all these groups of five aggregates. And these five aggregates, some of these five aggregates are the object of clinging and some are not. So here, the term five aggregates of clinging means five aggregates that are the objects of clinging, or the five aggregates we can cling to. Now, before you understand the five aggregates of clinging, you need to know clinging. Now, what is clinging? Now, in Abhidhamma, it is taught that clinging consists of at least two things: attachment and wrong view. So these two things are called clinging. Sometimes they are the clinging is translated as grasping, so taking firmly. Now, we can cling to the objects by attachment, or we can cling to them by wrong view. Now, if we see something and we are attached to it, we like it, we take hold of it with our mind, and that means we cling to that object by attachment. And if we also have the wrong view about that thing, that it is permanent, then we are clinging to it by wrong view also. So these two things, these two mental states, the attachment and wrong view, are called clinging. And anything that can be the object of clinging are called the aggregates of clinging. So here, five aggregates of clinging means five aggregates that are the object of clinging. Now, everything in the world is the object of clinging. So we can cling to anything in the world. We may be attached to the thing, or we may have wrong view about the thing. And so the five aggregates of clinging really means everything in the world that we can cling to by way of attachment or by way of wrong view. And we cling to them when we experience them, when we have contact with them. So, and we have contact with them through the senses, through the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and touch. So, we can answer this question in other words, not using the words five aggregates of clinging. So we may say that we must observe what becomes evident when we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, or think. We see something, and when that thing is evident, then we observe that object. We hear something, some sound, and that becomes evident, and we observe that sound, or we observe, or we try to be mindful of hearing, and we smell some good or bad smell, and when it becomes evident, then we observe the smell, or we observe the smelling, and so on. So, the answer which everybody can understand is that we must observe what becomes evident when we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and think. So in brief, we must observe everything we experience. But there is one thing to note here, that everything must belong to the ultimate reality, and that everything must not be a concept. Now, there are two things in the world, concept and reality. Concepts are said to be non-existent. They exist only in our imagination. So concepts have no existence of their own, and so they do not have the three characteristics. So when we practice Vipassana meditation, we do not take concepts as the object of Vipassana. We take the ultimate reality. That means we take the mind, we take the material properties as the object of Vipassana, but we do not take the concepts as the object of Vipassana, simply because we cannot see the three characteristics of the concepts, because they do not possess these three characteristics. Suppose you are concentrating on the breath. And if you see the breath as concepts, if you see the breath as something in the form of a stick or something that goes into the body through the nose and then comes out again, if you see them that way, if you see them as breath, as concepts, then you are not doing vipassana on the breath. You are doing samatha meditation on the breath. Because samatha, in most kinds of samatha meditation, it is the concepts that are the object of meditation. But if you concentrate on the air element, that is the breath, then you are doing vipassana. So when you are concentrating on the air element, its moving or its extending characteristic, then you are doing vipassana on the breath. So whether you are doing samatha or vipassana may depend on how you observe it. Now, if you take the breath as concepts, then you are doing samatha meditation on the breath. But if you try to see the air element in the breath, not the breath themselves, then you are doing the vipassana meditation on the breath. So when you practice vipassana meditation, you take the ultimate realities as object and not the concepts. When you see a man, how would you make mental notes? Man, or seeing. Now, if you make notes man, then you are concentrating on the concept. A concept does not exist. So what we call man is just a combination of mind and matter. So what is real in a man is just mind and matter, not the man. So if we make notes as man, we are not doing vipassana. That is why when we give instructions, we say make notes as seeing. Now, seeing means, say, there is seeing consciousness in my mind or something like that. So I am, when I say seeing, I am aware of the seeing consciousness in my mind. Or if you concentrate on the visible object in the manner, not the whole man, then you are concentrating on the ultimate reality. Because what we call man is composed of very small particles of matter that are ultimate reality. So if we concentrate on the visible object, visible datum in the man, or visible data in the man, then we are doing vipassana. But if we take the man as a whole and say man, then we are not doing vipassana because we are taking the concept as an object. So now we know we must observe the five aggregates of clinging when we practice vipassana meditation. Now, why do we have to observe the five aggregates of clinging? We have to observe them so that we do not cling to them. So in order not to cling to them, we have to observe the five aggregates of clinging. And why do we want to avoid clinging to them? Now, when we cling to them, that means we are attached to them. And when we are attached to them, we want to possess them. We want to take them as our own. So we will do anything to possess that thing, or we will act. So when we act, sometimes we may act in a right way, or sometimes we may act in a wrong way. Or whether we act in a right way or wrong way, when we act, we accumulate karma. Because we may do something wholesome or something unwholesome. So when there is karma as action, there is the result as reaction. And the result of karma is rebirth in the future. And rebirth is nothing but suffering. Now, we want to get rid of suffering. So if we want to get rid of suffering, we must avoid something that causes suffering. And here, the rebirth as aggregates are the result of the action or karma in the past, and that action or karma is conditioned by clinging. So whenever there is clinging, there will always be action. And when there is action, there is always be reaction. Or there will always be result. And the result is nothing but suffering. And so in order to avoid suffering, in order to get free from suffering, we have to avoid clinging to the objects. So in order to avoid clinging to the object, we have to observe. Suppose we hear somebody talk about the pleasures in the celestial realm. So when we hear the pleasures in the celestial realm, then we want to be reborn in the celestial realm. So we may, and we don't, let us say we don't know what to do to be reborn in the celestial realms, and so we go to a teacher. And that teacher happens to be a person who had wrong view. And so he may tell us, oh, you sacrifice a lamb or sacrifice an animal, then you will be reborn in the celestial world. And taking his advice, we may sacrifice an animal. And when we sacrifice an animal, we are doing the action. And that action is, according to the teachings of the Buddha, unwholesome action, unwholesome karma. So unwholesome karma will give not desirable or not pleasurable results, but it will give us painful results. That is one thing. Then we go to a teacher, and he is a good teacher, and he may instruct us to do good things, to do merit, and to practice charity and so on. So following his advice, we do charity, say we do make donations and so on, and we acquire merit. And that is kusala, or wholesome act. So wholesome karma always gives desirable results. Pleasant results. So as a result of our good karma, we may be reborn in celestial world. Whether we are reborn in hell or in the celestial world, there is always dukkha, there is always suffering, because celestial world is also not permanent. So the clinging leads to action. Clinging leads to wholesome or unwholesome karma, and wholesome and unwholesome karma leads to or produce good or bad results. So we do not want to get these results, because these results are, in the ultimate analysis, suffering, and we want to get rid of or get away from suffering. So in order not to have rebirth in any existence, we try not to have clinging. We try not to cling to the objects. And in order not to cling to the objects, we have to watch them, or we have to observe them. We have to be mindful of them. So we have gone through the questions: what is vipassana? What do we do when we practice vipassana? What must we observe when we practice vipassana? And why do we have to observe them? Now the question is, when are we to observe? Now we are to observe them when they are present. Now we observe them so that we see the true nature of them. We see the specific characteristic and the general characteristic of these objects. So, in order to see the specific characteristic and general characteristic of an object, that object must be present. That object must be, let us say, before our eyes or something like that. If it is not present with us, we cannot observe it. We may recall seeing something we have seen in the past, but that recollection is not as vivid as the thing that we are seeing right now. And only the thing that is with us, we can examine, we can watch, observe, and we can see it. We can see it clearly, and we can see its features or characteristics clearly. So it is important that we observe the five aggregates of clinging when they are present. That is in most stages of vipassana. Suppose there is a thunderstorm, and then there is lightning flashes now and then. But you will see the lightning only when it flashes. If you look at the sky before it flashes, you will not see the lightning. And if you look at the sky after it flashed, you will not see the lightning. So you will not be able to answer what it is like, simply because you did not see it. Only when it happens to flash and you are looking at the sky will you see the lightning, and you will be able to describe what it is like. Maybe it is in the shape of lines and all these things. So only when you look at the sky, when the lightning flashes, do you see the lightning. If you look at the sky before it flashes or after it flashed, you do not see it. You may be able to say there was lightning or there will be lightning, but you do not see it. So in order to see the lightning and in order to see what it is, what it looks like and so on, you have to be watching the sky when the lightning strikes. So in the same way, in order to see the true nature of things, in order to see the object clearly and its characteristics and so on, it has to be present. Now, you may want to ask, are we not to observe the past objects and future objects at all when we practice vipassana? Now, in in the stage of vipassana where the three characteristics are comprehended, there is a kind of vipassana called inferential vipassana. That means you infer the impermanent suffering and non-soul nature of an object you have not seen from the impermanent nature, suffering nature, and non-soul nature of the thing you have seen. Now, in that way, you practice inferential vipassana. But that inferential vipassana can come only after the direct vipassana. Only after you have seen the object, the present object as impermanent, can you infer that just as this is impermanent, this present thing is impermanent, so must be the things in the past, and so will be the things in the future. So in this way, you can understand that not only the present objects, but also the past and future objects are impermanent. But that is not direct seeing. That is a kind of contemplating, a kind of thinking. That kind of thinking is allowable during that stage of vipassana knowledge. And during that stage, a yogi can use his own knowledge of Abhidhamma to define different objects as impermanent, suffering, and non-soul. So, the present object is the most important object for the vipassana yogis, but it does not mean that they must not take the past object and future objects as object at all. So when we practice vipassana meditation, we concentrate on the object which is present. And vipassana deals with what is prominent, because what is prominent is easy to be noticed. And in the beginning, when the concentration and understanding are not yet strong, we should concentrate on what is evident, and we should not be looking for what is difficult to see. We should not try to find out what is difficult to see and then try to see it. That is impossible when the concentration and understanding are still not strong. So, what is important for the practitioners of vipassana is to be mindful of the object at the present moment, or to observe the object at the present moment. And to be mindful of the object at the present moment is actually taught by the Buddha. So Buddha said, do not let the past come back to you. Do not long for the future. But a monk who watches the object at the present moment will not be carried away by craving or wrong view. And so, to observe the object at the present moment is actually taught by the Buddha, and all practitioners of vipassana follow that advice And so when we practice, we try to be mindful of the object at the present moment. And following the statement in the commentaries, we try to be mindful of what is evident, what is prominent at the present moment. In the sub-commentary on Visuddhimagga, it is said, vipassana contemplation is according to what is evident. So that means vipassana deals with what is evident. So we take what is evident as the object of vipassana. That is why we take the rising and falling of the movement as the object of vipassana, or the breath as a object of vipassana. So they are not difficult to see. These objects are in the breath or the movements of the abdomen. So we begin with what is easy to see, what is evident at the present moment, and as the concentration and understanding become stronger, then we will be able to see subtle things also. There are some more questions about the basics of vipassana, and I think we'll continue tomorrow.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. She knows.